Lesson 11. Outcomes. Describe ways written resources are used to identify hazardous materials and their hazards. Written resources. A variety of written resources are available to assist responders in identifying hazardous materials at both fixed facilities and transportation incidents. Fixed facilities should have safety data sheets, inventory records, and other facility documents in addition to signs, markings, container shapes, and other labels. At transportation incidents, first responders should be able to use the current ERG as well as other written resources. Emergency Response Guidebook, ERG. The Emergency Response Guidebook, ERG, is a guide to aid emergency responders in quickly identifying the initial hazmat hazards involved in a transportation emergency incident. This allows you to help protect yourself and others during the incident's initial response phase by avoiding and minimizing hazards. The Emergency Response Guidebook, ERG, was developed to provide guidance to firefighters, law enforcement, and other emergency services personnel who may be the first to arrive at the scene of a transportation incident involving hazardous materials. Isolation and protective distances in the ERG are based on conditions commonly associated with transportation incidents in open areas and may not be useful when applied to fixed facility locations or in urban settings. The ERG will help you identify the material-specific or generic hazards, and it will also provide you with basic guidance on how to protect yourself and the general public during the incident's initial response phase. The ERG does not address all possible circumstances that may be associated with a hazardous materials incident. It is primarily designed for use at incidents occurring on a highway or railroad. There may be limited value in its application at fixed facility locations. Operations-level responders at the scene of a hazmat incident should seek additional, specific information about any material in question as soon as possible. The information received by contacting the appropriate emergency response agency, calling the emergency response number on the shipping document, or consulting the information on or accompanying the shipping document may be more specific and accurate than the guidebook in providing direction for managing the materials involved. You can locate the appropriate initial action guide page in the ERG in several different ways. Identify the 4-digit UN identification number on a placard or shipping papers and then look up the appropriate guide in the yellow-bordered pages. Reference the name of the material involved, if known, in the blue-bordered pages. Many chemical names differ only by a few letters, so exact spelling is important when using this method, Figure 24.212. Identify the material's transportation placard and then reference the 3-digit guide code associated with the placard in the table of placards and initial response guide to use on-scene located in the front of the ERG. Reference the container profiles provided in the white pages in the front of the book. First responders can identify container shapes and then cross-reference the guide number to the orange-bordered page provided in the nearest circle, Figure 24.213. Using the 4-digit ID number or the chemical name allows responders to locate the most specific initial action guide. Skills associated with identifying indicators and hazards present at a hazardous materials incident using approved reference sources are shown in Skill Sheet 24-2. The sections that follow describe the ERG's design and layout. ERG Instructions, White Pages. The white pages provide instructions for using the ERG. There are two white page sections, one in front and one in back. The Emergency Response Guidebook, ERG, a guide to aid emergency responders in identifying the initial hazmat hazards involved in a transportation emergency incident. The front section provides information on the following. Shipping documents, papers. How to use the guidebook. Local emergency telephone numbers. Safety precautions, see safety box. Notification and request for technical information. Hazard classification system. Introduction to the table of markings, labels, and placards. Table of markings, labels, and placards and initial response guide to use on scene. Rail car identification chart. Road trailer identification chart. Globally harmonized system of classification and labeling of chemicals, GHS. Hazard information numbers displayed on some intermodal containers. Pipeline transportation. The back section provides information about ERG User's Guide. protective clothing, fire and spill control, believe safety precautions, criminal/terrorist use of chemical/biological/radiological agents, improvised explosive device, IED, safe standoff distances. Glossary. Canada and United States National Response Centers. Emergency Response Assistance Plans, ERAP. Emergency Response Telephone Numbers. ERG ID Number Index, Yellow Bordered Pages. The ERG's Yellow Bordered Pages provide a 4-digit UN/NA ID number index list in numerical order. The 4-digit ID number is followed by its assigned 3-digit emergency response guide number, referred to hereafter as the guide, and the material's name, Figure 24.214. The yellow-bordered section in the ERG enables first responders to identify the guide number to consult for the substance involved. Green highlighting in the yellow-bordered index indicates that the substance releases gases that are toxic inhalation hazard, TIH. These materials require enhanced emergency response distances. A P following the guide number indicates that a material polymerizes. Polymerization is a violent reaction that releases great amounts of heat and energy. ERG Material Name Index, Blue Bordered Pages. The blue bordered pages of the ERG provide an index of dangerous goods in alphabetical order by material name so that the first responder can quickly identify the guide to consult for the name of the material involved. This list displays the material's name followed by its assigned 3-digit guide and 4-digit UN/NA ID number, Figure 24.215. The user needs to be very careful when looking up a product's name because a subtle mistake in the spelling can lead a responder toward a substantial misunderstanding of a product's behavior. As in the yellow-bordered pages, green highlighting on substances listed in the blue-bordered pages indicates the release of TIH gases, and a P following the guide number indicates that the material polymerizes. Note, many agencies use a phonetic alphabet to spell chemical names. ERG Initial Action Guides, Orange Bordered Pages. The book's orange bordered section is the most useful because it provides safety recommendations and general hazards information. The orange bordered pages comprised of individual guides presented in a 2-page format, featuring 3 sections, Figure 24.216. The left-hand page lists potential hazards and public safety information. The right-hand page provides emergency response information. Each guide is designed to cover a group of materials that possess similar chemical and toxicological characteristics. The guide title identifies the general hazards of the materials or dangerous goods addressed. Potential Hazards Section. The Potential Hazards Section addresses 2 hazard types under separate headers, health hazards and fire or explosion hazards, Figure 24.217. The highest potential hazard is listed first. This section should be consulted first because it will assist in making decisions regarding the protection of individuals at the incident. Types of warnings found in this section include: toxic, highly flammable, corrosive, toxic inhalation hazard, TIH volatile liquid or gas known to be a severe hazard to human health during transportation. Public safety section. The public safety section provides general information regarding immediate isolation of the incident site and protective clothing and respiratory protection recommendations. This section also lists suggested evacuation distances for small and large spills and for fire situations, such as distances for fragmentation hazards for tanks that might explode. Isolation distances are provided in the bullet points immediately below the public safety section heading, Figure 24.218. The initial isolation distance is a distance within which all persons should be considered for evacuation in all directions from the hazmat spill or leak source, Figure 24.219. This distance can be used to identify and establish an initial isolation zone. If safe to do so, you should evacuate people from the initial isolation zone to outside the safe distance, at a minimum, Figure 24.220. You should then secure the scene and deny entry/access to the isolation zone from anyone on the outside. The protective clothing section describes the type of personal protective clothing and equipment that should be worn at incidents involving these products, Figure 24.221. Examples include the following: street clothing and work uniforms, Structural firefighters' protective clothing, also called bunker gear or turnouts. Positive pressure self-contained breathing apparatus, SCBA. Chemical protective clothing, CPC. The evacuation section provides evacuation recommendations for spills and fires, figure 24.222. When the material is a green highlighted chemical in the yellow bordered and blue bordered pages, this section also directs the reader to consult the tables on the green bordered pages listing TIH materials and water reactive materials, CERG table of initial isolation and protective action distances, green pages, section. Awareness level personnel will probably not be involved in evacuations beyond the initial isolation phase, emergency response section. The third section, emergency response, describes emergency response topics, including precautions for incidents involving fire, spills or leaks, and first aid. Several recommendations are listed under each section to further assist in the decision-making process. The first aid information provides general guidance before seeking medical care. The fire section recommends the extinguishing agent to use on large fires, small fires, and fires involving bulk containers, figure 24.223. Examples might include foam or water, or a specific type of fire extinguisher for small fires. If foam is recommended, it will specify the type of foam to be used. Recommendations vary by guide, but may include such things as cooling containers with flooding quantities of water or using unmanned hose holders. The spill or leak section provides actions to take in regards to spills and leaks, figure 24.224. If a flammable liquid is involved, for example, it would recommend eliminating all ignition sources. It will also provide basic information needed to mitigate a spill, such as what materials to use to absorb the spill. The first aid section provides basic steps to help victims affected by the hazardous material involved, figure 24.225. Common recommendations include calling for emergency medical service assistance, moving victims to fresh air, and flushing contaminated skin and eyes with running water, decontamination. Avoiding direct contact with the hazardous material is also emphasized. Many recommendations provided in this section will be beyond the scope of awareness level personnel due to the need for specialized training and personal protective equipment, the dangers of cross-contamination, and the necessity of decontaminating victims before first aid is provided. For example, awareness level personnel should never enter hazardous atmospheres or potentially contaminated areas. Victims at hazmat incidents may present serious hazards to rescuers because they may be contaminated with the hazardous material, figure 24.226. Only first responders with appropriate training and wearing the appropriate personal protective equipment should touch or handle these victims. Awareness level personnel should not handle or touch contaminated or potentially contaminated victims at hazmat incidents, even to provide basic first aid. ERG tables of initial isolation and protective action distances, green bordered pages. The green bordered section consists of three tables. Table 1, initial isolation and protective action distances. Table 2, water reactive materials which produce toxic gases. Table 3, initial isolation and protective action distances for different quantities of 6 common TIH, PIH in the U.S. Gases Table 1, initial isolation and protective action distances. Table 1 lists TIH materials by their 4-digit UN/NAID number. The table provides two different types of recommended safe distances, initial isolation distances and protective action distances, figure 24.227. These materials are highlighted for easy identification in both numeric, yellow-bordered, and alphabetic, blue-bordered, ERG indexes, figure 24.228. The table provides isolation and protective action distances for both small and large spills, figure 24.229. A small spill, approximately 55 gallons, 220 L, or less, involves a single, small package, small cylinder, or small leak from a large package. A large spill, more than 55 gallons, 220 L, is one that involves a spill from a large package or multiple spills from many small packages. The list is further subdivided into daytime and nighttime situations because atmospheric conditions are often different depending on the time of day. Atmospheric conditions can significantly affect the size of a chemically hazardous area. The warmer, more active atmosphere common during the day disperses chemical contaminants more readily than the cooler, calmer conditions common at night. Therefore, during the day, lower toxic concentrations may be spread over a larger area than at night when higher concentrations may exist in a smaller area. The quantity of material spilled or released and the area affected are both important, but the single most critical factor is the concentration of the contaminant in the air. As with the isolation distances provided in the orange-bordered pages, the initial isolation distances provided in the green-bordered pages are the distance within which all persons should be considered for evacuation in all directions from an actual hazardous materials spill/leak source. This distance will always be at least 100 feet, 30 meters. Protective actions are those steps taken to preserve the health and safety of emergency responders and the public. People in this area could be evacuated and/or sheltered in place. If hazardous materials are on fire or have been leaking for longer than 30 minutes, this ERG table does not apply. Seek more detailed information on the involved material on the appropriate orange-bordered page in the ERG. Also, the orange-bordered pages in the ERG provide recommended isolation and evacuation distances for non-highlighted chemicals with poisonous vapors in situations where the containers are exposed to fire. Materials with the text, when spilled in water, following their names in Table 1 are considered water reactive and are covered in more detail in Table 2. Table 1 lists the chemicals produced and the material is spilled into water. Some water reactive materials are also TIH materials themselves, bromine trifluoride, thionyl chloride. In these instances, entries are provided in Table 1 to differentiate water-based spills from land-based spills, when spilled on land. Table 2, water reactive materials which produce toxic gases. Table 2 lists water reactive materials which produce large amounts of TIH gases when the material is spilled in water. Table 2 also identifies the TIH gases produced as a result of the spill. The materials are listed in ID number order. If the water reactive material is not a TIH and this material is not spilled in water, Table 1 and Table 2 do not apply and safety distances will be found within the appropriate orange guide. Table 3, initial isolation and protective action distances for different quantities of 6 common TIH, PIH in the U.S. gases. Table 3 lists toxic inhalation hazard materials that may be more commonly encountered. The selected materials are ammonia, UN 1005, chlorine, UN 1017, ethylene oxide, UN 1040, hydrogen chloride, UN 1050, and hydrogen chloride refrigerated liquid, UN 2186, hydrogen fluoride, UN 1052, sulfur dioxide/sulfur dioxide, UN 1079. The materials are presented in alphabetical order and provide initial isolation and protective action distances for large spills involving different container types, therefore different volume capacities, for daytime and nighttime situations and different wind speeds. Shipping papers shipments of hazardous materials must be accompanied by shipping papers that describe them. The information can be provided on a bill of lading, waybill, or similar document. The general location and type of paperwork change according to the mode of transport. However, the exact location of the documents varies. Hazardous waste shipments must be accompanied by a uniform hazardous waste manifest document that is typically attached to the shipping papers. The basic description provided in shipping papers will follow a sequence best remembered by the acronym SHP. I equals identification number, S equals proper shipping name, H equals hazard class or division, P equals packing group. When you know that a close approach to an incident is safe, you can then examine the cargo shipping papers. The information provided, such as proper shipping name and the hazard class, can then be used to identify hazards such as potential fire, explosion, and health hazards. Precautions to protect emergency responders and the public can be identified using the Emergency Response Guidebook or other reference source. You may need to check with the responsible party in order to locate shipping papers. If the responsible party is not carrying them, you will need to check the appropriate locations. In trucks and airplanes, These papers are placed near the driver or pilot. On ships and barges, the papers are placed on the bridge or in the pilot house of a controlling tugboat. The train crew should have train consists, entire train's cargo lists, train list, and or will reports. Look for the train crew first, as they should have the paperwork, train list. However, if they cannot be located, contact the railroad through their emergency phone number for a copy of the train list. It is possible there may also be a copy of the current train list in the engine. On the train list, most railroad companies will count and list their train cars from the front of the train to the back. During pre-incident surveys, the location of the papers, and how to read them, for a specific rail line can be determined. Figure 24.230 provides a summary of shipping paper requirements. Note, shipping paper information may be provided in a variety of formats such as fax and email. Transborder shipments between the U.S. and Mexico may be accompanied by shipping documents in both English and Spanish. To satisfy the emergency response information requirements in the U.S. or Mexico, a shipper may attach a copy of the appropriate guide page from the current ERG to the shipping papers. The information must be provided in Spanish when the material is shipped to Mexico and in English when shipped to the U.S. so that emergency responders in each country will be able to understand the appropriate initial response procedures in the event of a hazardous material release.